another light, buddy?
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife. Just kids having fun. You all right?
I'm always all right when I'm with you, Dundee. God, that sounds corny.
Living in the city, I've been abused. He has jobs I keep, people I meet. They don't do more than make me amused. Everywhere I turn now, just more bad news. So don't look now, don't ask how I'm gonna find me a way.
Saha and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Parker.
You know, it's kind of upsetting whenever we have to reset and someone just doesn't have the fervor to make that joke a second time. Like, to do it just naturally. That's sort of
sad. The first time. Yeah. Also, I'm busy writing down Parker. If something should happen to me and like my parents go through like my Google stuff, like just to see, it is going to be a terrible time. So it's be like, I thought he was a real person. Turns out he's a cartoon. Our son's an idiot.
He still watches Darkwing Duck.
God damn it. That is the only thing Disney Plus is good for.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in the catalog.
And so this is why I was concerned.
You did say that. Right? So, but I do like The Mandalorian. I've only watched one episode. Really, I watched Jeff Goldblum because he's a crazy person.
There's no fucking
but way. It's not worth it. I guess I'll try the Noel movie.
You should watch Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's coming soon in 3 years.
Right. I own that in 4K. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'll watch it.
It upsets me
that people talk about 4K in streaming services like they're 4K. It's not 4K.
It is the 4K.
So as you can see, I've logged in.
Yeah, I saw that. And by the way, A plus R, well done, good. Sir.
Uh-huh. I logged in. And all I've watched so far is I watched an episode of the Jeff Goldblum thing.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Saw him look at sneakers and yeah, I get it. Right. I myself am very much into the Jeff Goldblum shtick. Right. Yeah. So I might accidentally watch episode 2, but meh.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100%. The only reason I'll watch that show is because I have nothing else to do. And I'm trying to justify my $7 a month.
Look, the only reason I'm happy you logged in for me is that it means I can have somewhere to rewatch the Star Wars movies that I don't own yet. Because I still don't own Rogue One or Last Jedi. Even though I think Last Jedi is on Netflix still, I don't think Rogue One is.
I was just saying to myself I need to buy them. And then I saw that they're all on here. But I'll definitely buy them because, again, streaming is not 4K.
Oh, I meant to, but they weren't on sale during Black Friday, so.
Also, there's a chance your favorite director comes in and changes those movies, I guess.
No, I don't think he can change the new ones. He can only change the old ones.
Andrew,
I'm sorry, it says Lucasfilm?
Andrew, I'm pretty sure that we don't realize, but he changes at least one scene every year.
It says Lucasfilm.
So I was listening.
I just assume.
Today, I was listening to the latest Death Watch pod, basically Mamo Part 2. And those guys were talking about the fact that the edit everyone was making fun of on Disney Plus, the McClunky, it disappeared for a while, but now it's back apparently.
That's
right? I love the idea that Matt Brown is just has Disney Plus, so he can just check on A New Hope every week.
Listen. That guy clearly knows, like, he's in the know. he needs to like get us, and we don't need to include this in the podcast, right? He can just get for me and you, Andrew, because Damien don't understand. He can get me and you the actual 4K version of the original Star Wars trilogy.
I'll bet money that doesn't exist.
Of course it doesn't. Why on earth? Damien, they tried like crazy to... They literally hacked my DVD of my shitty SD quality version.
That was less than SD.
The original.
Can you imagine if someone has like a film reel and Disney finds out?
Well,
that
that's what
someone...
the specialized version was. Right. That's... So they not only took like the already HD versions mm-hmm. of stuff that was out there that was from the original. Apparently, a few people or one person or whatever it was mm-hmm. had some film that they remastered themselves. So it keeps, you know,
so that's
a, in and
like
out,
if, but, someone, if someone, because they can't say this out loud, but if one day Disney finds out that someone paid like $100,000, like sent their film reel to some place and had it professionally digitized and then got it back and is just like, I put in this, like, they'd kill that man. George Lucas would find that man and shoot him in the face.
I want to also imagine that George Lucas is actually holding a couple original prints of the original version, and he's not doing anything with them. Like, he has it set to a timer that, like, the minute his heart stops, like, it lights a flame so that no one can get it. But moving right along.
Maybe that's what he's doing to get Disney to add more bullshit to the movies. It's like, listen, in order for anyone to ever see The Good Ones ever again, you have to make me do what I want. Or, oh look, this film reel over here. It's kind of wobbly. It's near this fire pit. Huh?
All right, guys, listen. I know Tom Cruise.
That's Mission Impossible 7.
I'll get him to go into George Lucas's place. He'll drop in from the skylight. He's done it like at least 4 times already.
I'm going to send in George Clooney.
I want Solid Snake. That's what the next Metal Gear game is going to be about. Him saving Star Wars from Master Lucas.
But moving right along. Yes. We have congregated together to discuss who murdered who in mm-hmm. in 1940s film that decided to come into 2019, but it has really great sweaters, which means Rian Johnson made it. This named with the greatest title of 2019. I'm going to give it to him from now before we even get to the end of the year discussion. Knives Out.
Lieutenant Elliot, and this is Trooper Wagner. We just want to ask a few questions. We understand the night of his demise, the family have gathered to celebrate your father's 85th birthday. How was it, Hello?
The party? Pre my dad's death? Oh, it was great.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the film follows a family that is the I've forgotten their names, the Thrombies, the Thrombey family, who gets together to celebrate their father's 85th birthday, and the following morning he's found dead. Apparent suicide. A week later, a special investigator by the name of Benoit Blanc, starring Daniel Craig, played by Daniel Craig, Mr. James Bond himself, in a Poirot-esque role, brings together the family once more to discuss the suspicious endings of this old man's death as he decides to find out who did when, why, and whom. Damien, how bad was that intro? And please take it away from me.
That's just real bad. It was holding up until you got to the end.
I thought then it would be neat to kind of do like the circle of the W's.
Ah,
You know, they always say the important things is the why, the who, the when, the where. So I thought I'd be funny to do the circle, but by the time I was done, I'm like, this was a mistake.
You bit off more than you could chew. I get it. All right. So, Rian Johnson did me dirty by doing Star Wars movies, but I get it.
We all need to get paid.
Yeah, I get it.
When the mouse calls, you pick up the fucking phone.
Everyone needs to pay their due to make some blood sacrifice to Mickey. Get it?
As Douglas has done this week by handing his money straight to the Mickey Mouse.
Listen, if Taika had to do it, everybody has to do it. So I get it. And now he's back doing the types of movies that we love him for, his genre movies. This is a good old-fashioned whodunit. A family filled with assholes has their...
A fistful of assholes.
A fistful of assholes. The grandfather dies. He's the one that has all the money, of course.
Starring Kevin Spacey, right? Played by Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
If only. If only. Chris Plummer is the grandfather, and he... A lot of Chrissies in this movie. Anyways.
Captain America!
He promptly dies. And everyone thinks it's a suicide, but you, the audience, knows that that's not the case. They lay out pretty clearly what is happening. And the movie is not what happened. The movie is who triggered these events. And I went to watch this movie in Carib in its most goodest permutation. It is Carib. The people that are in the theater know exactly what movie they're watching. So there's no one in there confused. They're like, oh, look, James Bond. And then the movie started. And there's no confusion. There are six other people. I sat in the middle of the theater. Someone wiped down the screen. And so I, for the first time in a good long time, I mean, there's still intermission, but Carib is still Carib. But I had myself a good time at a movie theater.
Can you imagine, Damian? We actually got to watch it in SD. My God.
What do you mean someone wiped down the screen? You saw someone with a cloth walk by or something?
Well, clearly, because have you been... Andrew, what did the screen look like the last time you were here?
Look, I saw Hobbs and Shaw. You didn't really have a lot to look at.
Yeah. Someone, or maybe it is, maybe because the movie was limited to the middle parts of the screen, we didn't see the dirty parts.
And it was a smaller theater. I wonder if the smaller theaters are better.
But in any case, it was the best Carib could offer. And the movie lived up to what Carib was offering. I enjoyed all of this movie. I enjoyed all the characters. The cast is tremendous. You'd have seen them in the trailer. Jamie Lee Curtis stopped playing around with Halloweens so that she could be in this. She's an asshole. Chris Evans is a smug asshole. Michael Shannon is the worst. Don Johnson, though, is the...
He's my favorite.
He's the number one shittiest person. There's a running joke where the helper is from every South American, Central American country that comes to... Like, she just keeps hopping from point to... And everyone makes mention of it as if it makes them... It is. These people are... The absolute worst, and I love them for it. Oh my god, watching like all of them represents a different kind and shade of terrible person. Like Toni Collette is, she's like one of those yoga healer type. Shitty person. and she has the facade of being successful, but the grandfather is bankrupt. The grandfather is basically bankrolling everybody. And so you learn quickly that the grandfather realizes he has a family filled with garbage people. And so he takes the decision to give his money and all his assets to his helper. She's there as a nurse. She's providing, care for him because, of course, he's old and sickly. But she actually develops a relationship, not a sexual one, but just as friend. Like, he needed a friend and hasn't had one in so long that he was enamored by her and decided that his family's garbage, which they are, and then proceeded to give her all the money. And so her life is turned upside down because the family is filled with the worst people. The grandfather is dead, and of course the family is trying to find some way to pin it on her or to get her to refuse the money. All the while, Daniel Craig is trying to solve this mystery. The one critique I have about the movie is that Stanfield isn't given much to do. You'd think that in a movie like this where there's so many jokes that he would have been given more to, but he's just there to play a straight cop. Like, he's just, there's nothing unique or funny about his personality. And so the movie is just the progression. They walk you through what happens step by step, and they kind of give you, there's a lot of misdirection, so that the reveal at the end is, the payoff is satisfying. And it is not the most demanding of who, like, they play it pretty straight. And there's one character that vomits every time she lies, which is a ridiculous thing that only works in these kind of movies. And so because that is the one constant, because she is essentially the mark. If she vomits, it's a lie. And if she doesn't, it's the truth. Because she is the only person that you're guaranteed to be telling the truth, it makes the story a lot easier to follow and a lot less convoluted. But the performances are good. The twists and turns are good enough. And it is just a fun, enjoyable one of those. They used to make a lot more of these movies. They've fallen off the map. And so it's fun. As Andrew said, this movie was pulled out of the 40s and put on the big screen. Much like Ford v Ferrari is a movie that should not be out in 2019. But they found some way to dust off some old film, put new actors in it, and put it out. And I enjoy this movie a lot.
Sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to go too long because I kind of want to go into spoilers at some point about this movie, because there are a few things I want to talk about that's a little deeper. Damien, you're 99% right. I love so much about this movie. I love the jokes. I love the characters, the way they're all their own special blend of asshole. I mean, no one decided to mention Michael Shannon's children, right? Child, the son who's always on his phone. Right? He's special. And to always have him against the other girl, oh, just beautiful.
But she's worse. Even though he's a Nazi, somehow she's still the other young girl. She's still the worst.
Yep. The one complaint I have for this movie, and I'll get into it more specifically later, is
I turn off his mic?
Is I feel somewhere in the middle of the movie, it kind of lost me, and not necessarily like the plot lost me. I feel like they didn't really have a lot of things packed well in there for you, that it wasn't paced well, is what I'm trying to get around to. Like, the beginning of this movie is great, the middle of this movie is okay, and then the end of this movie is fucking fantastic, right? And in that middle section, there are points where you're like, we could speed this up a little bit, right? And it was just something that I wasn't that into for this film. I adore Don Johnson in this movie so much. I love the way he just kowtows every time you see him in the scene. Like, he's just there, and then someone says something, and he's like, yeah, that's exactly what it should have been. I have no opinion of anything ever at all. I love this revival of Don Johnson in 2019 between this and Watchmen. Mm-hmm. Nash Bridges.
Is there really a... Hold on, sorry. And by the way, kudos to the Nash Bridges pull. Nash Bridges is amazing. but is it really a 2019 Donnaissance? Or, because I feel
Andrew
like
Andrew answered, move on. He said that we can't.
I feel like we've been seeing glimpses of this guy for a little while now. I mean, I actually have a pile of Tarantino movies here, and it's not in the pile, but Django Unchained was a huge movie with Don Johnson that was essentially the same reason for us liking him, right? Him being this huge comedic asshole, right? So is this really... Does he just kind of show up once or twice every couple of years? Is that what he's doing now?
I don't know, maybe. But I'm just going to write it down, especially kind of peeking at his IMDb. I see in pre-production Nash Bridges, the TV movie or some shit. So I'm going to take it as a Don Johnson comeback story. Right? Nash Bridges is back in town.
I know what happened. His daughter got quasi-famous, and now she's like, all right, tag me in.
I'm back.
But I think the one guy in this movie who you talked about, Lakeith Stanfield, and yeah, it's sad that he pulled the short straw to have to just play the straight man, but someone had to, I guess, in a movie like this. Like, you couldn't have everyone just be ridiculous.
You could
try.
Tyco did it.
But the other police officer, whose name I have no idea who he is, yes, right? He
police officer number
he's just
two.
A fan.
The fanboy.
He's a fanboy.
He is beautiful. And I think that leads to one of my favorite things about this movie. And it's kind of upsetting to talk about this because I feel like everything else is so obvious and I've left it for you guys. But I love the fucking set shit of this movie, right? You see the fanboy walk around and you see him talk about all of these statues that we're seeing, which is just all from like all of his books. And that fucking chair throne with the knives all around it, right?
Yep.
Everything about this movie just feels well designed in a great fucking way. And it makes sense for someone like Rian Johnson, the guy who brought us The Brothers Bloom. Right? Like, he knows how to just make movies feel like they exist and not just a random house that you're in. Right? And I loved every piece of that about this movie. Like, it wasn't just about the fact that Jamie Lee Curtis is the character she is and she does it so well, or Michael Shannon is the character he is and does it so well. It's this movie is the character it is and does it so well. And I really appreciate it when movies do that, because not many do.
Yeah, I agree. And you guys have pretty much said everything that we need to say about this. But what I will say is one, and you kind of just brushed on it, Andrew. The only really serious thing I'll say about this movie, because I think we all, to one degree or the other, love this movie, is that what made it work so well is the way that they cut everything together, the way Rian Johnson actually edited the movie and you know, had all of the various funny camera angles, so that the dialogue, the ridiculousness of some of the dialogue was even overemphasized. And that's a classic thing, but he did it goodly. But this movie is pretty good. I would say that. So, to Andrew's point about this movie maybe going down or not being as hot in the middle, screw that.
I mean,
I do love this movie.
I also, just as a side note to say, I feel that could have been my fault for the fact that, you know, in movies like this, it's all about how much you know about the end that makes these other pieces make more sense and feel better for you. I feel like watching this movie again, I might have different feelings about that middle section, but, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait to own this movie because this is one of those movies, as you say, that will grow on you over time. So it will be warm and fuzzy. This will be next year's Booksmart for me, essentially, where I buy the movie and I watch it just 20 times in a day. But the... what was I going to talk about? Damien has me fucking watching Star Wars, which is going to be making it very hard for me to concentrate.
Because that is what Rian Johnson
so
does.
So the thing about Rian Johnson, right, and about this movie, what I will give Andrew is that I don't think this movie is perfect, right? And it doesn't need to be because for what it is better than A Knight's Tale, but it is A Knight's Tale, right? It's that kind of movie. It is actually a good movie version of A Knight's Tale, just not a great film, right? And that's fine.
Hey, let's stop talking shit about A Knight's Tale.
Damon, me and you...
I don't want to have to fight anymore.
Me and you know what we're saying.
A Knight's Tale is bad.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Who will fight you?
Right. The knives are out.
You best not come back here. No, no.
But the thing about this is, right, and I think I can safely say that this is not as good a movie as Looper, which is another Rian Johnson movie. Mm-hmm. And I realized this because I bought it just the other day, watched it, and could not pull myself away from that movie. I don't think this movie is quite there.
Yep, Looper's is top.
Looper is way better. But...
actually, no, I take that back. I'm going to make The Brothers Bloom his top.
Absolutely not. I like The Brothers Bloom, but Looper is way far and away the better movie. Mm. Now, if you want to talk to me about one of the Star Wars movies, which, as far as I'm concerned, isn't a movie, it's just its own
more
thing.
More Star Wars, yeah.
Or if you want to talk to me about Brick, I don't believe so, but I haven't watched it in 100 years, so go right ahead, right? But Looper is by far and away... the better movie to Brothers Bloom. I was about to bring up Brothers Bloom, though, because I think Brothers Bloom also has the same or a similar deficiency in the sense that it's the same type of movie. It's a heist movie. It's a con man movie, right?
It's a genre from the oldie days.
Exactly. It's highly comedic. Also to a certain extent very physical, and the same sort of cuts, the same sort of I'm just joking my way through the whole hour and a half is going on there. But it also doesn't feel almost fully formed. I think this movie, Knives Out, is a much better development. It's like an evolution of that movie. Now, I love Brothers Bloom, don't get me wrong. Right. I bought that as well and watched it recently and really enjoyed watching it. But you can see how he took that movie and said, hold on, I can do better. And he completely did better in this movie and he did a lot better. Now we're done with the serious. I want to go back to the family. Movie.
I have one question.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Did anyone else spot the Joseph Gordon-Levitt cameo?
I did not. Where was that?
There's a point in the movie where the nurse is at her house with her family, and her younger sister.
Is he in the movie?
Yes, you hear him. You hear him as the voice of the guy that the younger sister is watching, and I spotted that, and I had a good laugh.
I didn't catch on to that, but that was a good joke.
I mean, if it's an audio joke. It makes sense why we didn't catch it.
Exactly.
We went to care.
But yeah. well played. So, a few things. You guys all talk about Don Johnson, but you did not talk about his defining scene in this movie.
That's a spoiler.
Which was absolutely not.
No, people see that for themselves. It's so good.
It was fantastic. They're all in a group just sitting down talking. I think it's after the first interview and they ask the nurse to come and chat to them for some reason.
Come weigh in.
Yeah, weigh in on some racist
on
thing, right?
On immigration.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And you can see while he's talking to her, it's so subtle. He just slowly pushes his arm out more and more towards her. And you realize, wait, hold on. He's just handing his saucer to her because she is the help from Paraguay or Guatemala or wherever the fuck they think she's
Honduras.
From at the moment. And that,
Brazil.
Oh, guys, I mean,
Uruguay.
That right there is what makes Don Johnson the winner for this movie.
He's by far
the out and out winner.
My other side question, Douglas, is that the best coffee mug in movie history?
So I have a list of things I was going to talk about. That was my finale because, oh my God, I love that coffee mug. Mm-hmm. So much so, I actually, out of my memory, I could remember that it's my house, my rules, my coffee. I want that coffee mug. I'm going to get it. But, you know, there's so many just great things, great moments, great visuals, great feelings that you take away from this movie. Like, I love Kevin Spacey's performance.
Yeah,
right.
Kevin Spacey.
The way.
Yeah,
Kevin Spacey. He was in the movie where he's the rich guy and Mark Wahlberg and Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey is the grandfather in this movie.
Grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it too hard. You know.
He made this joke to begin the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is not good that it took you a full half hour to be on board.
I was ignoring it.
It's cold. It's cold where you are.
But Chris, Kevin Spacey, Plummer, generally his performance is amazing. He's great as this nice old man.
This recently nice
old man. And his housequake. And him pretending to be old right before his housequake where the go board falls on the floor.
Yeah.
That scene is phenomenal.
Yeah. Right.
I love that. And it's just really him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's an old man, but he's, you know, he's still
right. He can do everything.
Out and about and whatever. And him just pretending to be, oh, I'm so old because you are treating me like an invalid. Yes. It's
really
so good.
The type of old man I hope I grow to be.
So Daniel Craig playing the piano, best thing ever.
And the family just not having it. Just like couple questions in there, just like, all right, listen. Look here. What is that?
Oh, that's great. And just Lakeith Stanfield, every time that one piano note is played, immediately saying, oh yeah, I'm supposed to ask you, where were you when, what time?
Yes.
Like, it's awesome. And finally, none of you have spoken about grandma.
Again.
None of you.
Because these things are spoilers.
They are not.
Every scene she's in spoils what is happening in the movie.
She's
tremendous.
So good. She is essentially a piece of furniture, right? She is the quintessential I am too old to move or recognize what is happening around me or at least respond to what is happening around me character. And they use that to their advantage. I love this movie so much. I really can't wait to watch it again and again and again. Not because it's great, because maybe it's not great, but it certainly is good and it certainly is fucking enjoyable. I love this movie.
Okay. So I have two questions to ask that kind of walk us into spoilers. I want to prepare us, right? I think we've kind of gone through everything we want to really talk about this movie without spoiling what's going on in the plot of this film or whatnot. but I'm going to give it one more try. Anything before we go? 1, 2, 3. Cool. So
hand shot first.
Boom. McClunky. So there are two things about this movie I wanted to talk about. Number one is I wanted to ask about the plot itself. And what I mean by that is the actual murder plot that we get revealed at the end. That being that Chris Evans is overthinking and overdoing this whole thing, and magically we got a fancy Poirot Agatha ending.
Hell, I draw.
Number one, is this movie the type of movie for you where you care as to how well set up that reveal is, or did you have so much fun that you didn't?
I had enough fun to not care. It definitely was. You see, movies like this, right? The whatever they're building up to, whatever it culminates in, will always be somewhat ridiculous and to a certain level unearned. Mm-hmm. And there'll always be easy holes to punch through, right? What makes you like a movie like this versus dislike a movie like this is how much fun you have along the way. And this movie made me have a lot of fun. So I almost didn't care. I remember at the end thinking to myself, I don't know about this ending because, mm-hmm. you know, the Colonel Plummer in the living room with the, and then I thought to myself, no, Douglas, stop the shit. You enjoy the shit out, the hell out of this movie.
This is like every heist movie, every revenge movie. If you spend the time and think, you have already fucked this up. The only time we blame movies for having plot holes and bad plots is because you don't like the movie. And so it is time to nitpick the shit out of this movie. And you point to things that in better movies, you let slide past. Die Hard doesn't make any sense.
Sorry, what?
The Matrix don't make any sense.
No, the Matrix.
The Batman's is don't make any sense.
How dare you?
Star Wars doesn't actually make any sense.
To be fair, you're absolutely right. The Batman's are bad movies.
Yeah.
We should have just watched Dear Zachary three times.
I mean, if I was doing it over, say I had a list of mm-hmm. best movies for the decade, I am taking Batman for the list. I'm a fucking psychopath. Anyways.
It's good to know that movie wasn't this decade.
Like, if you take enough time, and there's a frightening amount of YouTube content that does exactly. I thought cinema scenes would have been all alone to do this shit. But no, a lot of people think there's a lot more to be mined out of telling people that movies don't make sense. Which, congratulations, content is content. But, like, Stoker doesn't make any sense. I saw the devil. He let go of that guy. That sure doesn't make any sense. Like, he caught him and could have murdered him and decided no. Which, based on how that movie started, doesn't, like, right then and there, we should have gone, I have to turn this off because this show is ridiculous.
You're talking about in the end?
No. He caught him in that vegetable patch.
A number of times. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let him go repeatedly. I was like, I can't watch this show anymore. This is ridiculous. But if you turn off that part of your brain and keep watching it, the end is magic. And so most of these shows, it is convoluted and misleading for a reason. Like all Chris Nolan movies are that, with the exception of Dunkirk. Because Dunkirk is bad. But you give it a free pass. And so too with this, like, the steps Chris Evans would have needed to take and plan ahead for, and the situations that she would have to have found herself in almost, like, millisecond precision, the story would fall up. Like, it doesn't make any sense that everything just happened to work, that she left the way he thought, like none of that shit. But you ignore all of that because that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to be entertained. And they did that, and so I'll forgive most of their bullshit.
Yeah. So Andrew, how do you feel about it? And also, is it that you want to have, do you want to have, because we can have this conversation, mm-hmm. about the nits that need to be picked here?
Right. No. I was just generally curious, because one of the big things about this genre of stories is just the ridiculous reveals that they kind of generate on their own, right? Yeah. I was curious if you guys looked at that moment and had like a big sigh and be like, oh, at least we got that over with and moved on with your life. or if you found it in itself to be its own joke, right?
Yeah, essentially that's what it was
right.
for me.
Right, because nothing made me laugh more than Daniel Craig's speech about donut holes in donut holes.
Yes.
Yeah, just how unintelligent it was for a man that so far had been seemingly very intelligent.
So the things I appreciate about this, the whodunit genre specifically, is when it becomes very clear that the people making the movie are in on the fact that this entire situation is ridiculous. And I think that is why Bad Times at the El Royale was such a disappointing movie. Because the trailer seemed fun. It seemed like that is what they were making. And then you watch it and you're just like, you guys don't know the movie you're making. Like, you guys are confused as to why I left my house to watch this. The trailer people clearly looked at your movie and went, listen, no one is going to come watch it. If we put out what this movie actually is, let's just make it fun and put some nice music and have people dancing and being scared and shit. And we'll con some enough idiots to come watch this movie. And they were right. But I really... Listen. I cannot look at anybody that watches a movie and does and likes it and say the movie doesn't make sense, because one of my favorite movies is Rambo First Blood Part 2. If we're rating that on things that make sense, it is below whatever the ground floor.
Like, yeah, Damien, that name alone.
Yeah. Right. It is the First Blood, the second. Like, it is a... Like, every... Like, the Fast and Furious movies... Like, the fact that they came back and now are the biggest things in the world is a testament to people looking at a thing not making sense and just... And just having it wash over them.
Speaking of which, did you see that joke about dairy and Fast and the Furious?
No.
So, they said essentially... You know, milk is the only thing that goes bad.
Right.
Then, if you leave it, turns into something good. And then, if you leave it again,
right,
turns back into something bad. So, it's essentially the Fast and the Furious of food.
That's pretty good.
I hate you.
That is pretty good.
But coming back to this movie... donut holes in donut holes. Like, one of the things I loved about this movie was Daniel Craig's character himself, right?
Yes.
Because there's something to be said beyond the accent joke, because that is like the easy
it's
grab.
Such a ridiculous character.
That's the easy grab for the joke about about him, right? When he introduces himself and he talks about his method, because at some point within the first half an hour, someone says like, "How is it you do what you do?" Right.
Yes.
Weirdly enough,
the maid asked
him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was listening to it, all I heard back from him was, "I just watch what people do and what the end result is. That's the answer. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't really figure out shit. I just wait for it to figure out itself." Which is like
that was another great joke, by the way.
Right. He literally says, "And it just falls at my feet."
And then the dog
dropped everything. I was like, "This movie, I cannot."
And everything about this movie is a joke on that whodunit trope of the Poirot character who outthinks everything going on. Because at the end of the day, like, even when we get to the end of the story, he's like, something don't make sense. But then the answer just falls in front of him with Chris Evans being like, "Oh, I'm the murderer." Right? Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous to me. And I love that so much about this movie. Like...
that is the thing that I want to hold on to tightly, to be like, that is the reason I think this movie is overly special. Like, everything else about this movie that worked, it worked, and I liked it, and it's a good movie. But Daniel Craig's character on a whole is the thing that makes it lift up and be, yeah, I'm going to come back to this movie and find more to mine out of it.
And he always has to be, right, for this movie to work. Because, yes, there is a portion of this movie and of any movie like this where you focus on the rest of the characters, because you have to, in any movie like this, even if it's a joke that everybody is in on, and actually especially if it's a joke that everybody's in on, you have to make each character kind of more and more ridiculous, and also see that little bit of doubt where you say, ooh, was it the aunt? Was it the uncle? Mm-hmm. Who did this?
Right?
And they actually don't do a lot of that here. I mean, they do it perfunctorily, but at no point did you ever really think, you know, or were you really in doubt as to, or did you even care who did it in a way? A lot of these kind of movies are hinged on who the detective is, because he has to sit down and
manipulate the situation.
Exactly. And know everything and humorously come to a conclusion. And I really love, there's a scene in the end where the nurse sits down and is finally able to relax because everything has been revealed, mm-hmm. right? So she can no longer fear that she will throw up spontaneously. She can just sit down and actually have a chat with this man. And she asks him, you know, all right, so when did you know that I was somehow involved? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah, I knew from day one.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, look at your shoes.
Yeah, there's blood on your sneakers.
And, you know, things like that, right? Even though they didn't play on the whole Sherlock Holmesian side of things. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was a self-professed and in the world that we are in, a well-known whodunit man, a very intelligent and good detective. But you never really feel that in the movie, right? You never see him calculating whose fingerprint and which dog hair and how many times the clock was scratched. He don't really see him do that. He gets there, but they really focus more on the shitty family, on jokes, on him being ridiculous and things like that, which, to be honest, I was thankful for. That was what I loved about this movie.
This leads me into my second question, right? And it's the serious question about this film, right? Because one of the things I was very surprised to leave this movie reconciling with is how this movie, and this movie has been marketed as the Thanksgiving movie, which in the States is this whole, you know, your family gets together and you hope you don't talk about politics kind of thing, how everyone talks about that shit. Right? And when this movie is all said and done, it's like a veil got pulled off where I realized Rian Johnson was making this movie with the underlying message of all of white America is awful to immigrants. Right? And he seeds it in such a beautiful way in having the family that seems also inviting and also nice to the South American help, as you guys like to put it, with that fun joke of them never remembering which country she came from.
Argentina?
Right. Europe, whichever one.
Okay.
And when the movie starts, like, you kind of, you think of characters like Toni Collette and you're like, oh, she's airy fairy, but you don't think of her as bad. You see people like Michael Shannon and you see him as the son who didn't make anything, but he doesn't make him a bad person. But by the time the movie is over, you know every single one of those people in their own way are just not so much assholes, not generally just assholes, they're just bad people, right? And you see how they turn against her. Right? And it becomes a story about this family against her. And not just about the money, even though that's a big catalyst of it, but you see their inner feelings towards her and the concept of the other in the immigrant in America, right? And I don't know if you guys just glossed over it and said, let's not talk about it, or didn't see it, but it felt so vivid in this movie by the time you got to the ending that I was so fucking surprised, right? It's a fucking ballsy way Rian Johnson does it, and he doesn't do it in a way that makes me want to talk about it, to be like, oh, look how heavy-handed he did that thing in this one movie. Like, it's there, but it kind of feels like he earned it by the end, right?
So I'm going to talk first because I don't really have anything to say about this. So I'm trying to sandwich. Maybe we should stop. Should we stop?
No.
Okay. I'm going to sandwich the guy who has nothing really to say in between, hopefully, two guys who have lots to say. But I see what you're saying, Andrew. And to me, it's really just a big joke. And it's a joke that plays on, yes, the fact that people fucking are horrible. And people, you know, this
Nash
whole...
Bridges.
This whole, like... immigration just shit show when you see people talk about, you know, oh, America first, not kind of sitting down and saying, hang on a second, are we not immigrants that came here and just committed genocide so we could pretend like we're not immigrants?
No, that's history. That didn't happen. It was in black and white for a reason.
So there's obviously a conversation that can be had here. But I, especially because that specific brand of racism or of xenophobia or whatever you want to call it, I'm not very close to it. I don't feel it. I don't have those kind of conversations. It's hard for me to relate and to have a position other than, it's wrong, please stop it.
No, I'm not talking about your position on the matter. No, I'm kind of assuming you have a good position, and I'm not asking because this isn't Thanksgiving and I don't want to talk about politics. I'm talking about Rian Johnson's position that I got out of this movie. Yeah, or the story's position, because that's there. And we haven't talked about it, and I know 90% of it is because you guys generally just ignore those conversations in these movies.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to, like, double check with another person. Am I seeing things?
No, I don't know. I suppose it could be there. I mean, as I said, to me, it's just a great joke. But yeah, sure, it's a joke hinged on that argument, and that could potentially start that conversation.
I really enjoyed the fact that he, like, when it got to that conversation, right? First of all, it's our favorite joke in the movie that stems out of that conversation, handing her the saucer.
Yep.
But it starts when they're talking about the Nazi son. And then from there, everyone has, it basically fans out. Where everyone has a piece where they're like, this is what we're supposed to do. And then there's a but.
Of course.
Like, oh, you know, yes, immigrants, but. And things like, she's one of the good ones. Like all of the things that people say when they're real pieces of garbage. Yep.
And they all start, right? They all start by saying, I'm a good person. And then all of a sudden, it's like, each and every one of them at one stage in this movie, I completely forgot this, said, you know, I wanted you to be at the funeral, but I got outvoted.
Exactly.
Because apparently ghosts were outvoting every single person in this family.
So that is the thing. You're just like, oh, these people are shitty people. She's treated not as his nurse, but as a maid.
No.
Or as a butler. And you see, like, because in their minds, there's like levels to it. And so they keep downgrading. It is why none of them pay attention to where she lives. And they keep on saying shitty and like as the night progresses and they get worse and worse, the things that they say become worse and worse. And you go, yeah, because they're all terrible people. This is just a face they put on in front of her and only her. And then once the decision is made that she's getting all the money instantly. Like, even the one that was hugging her is like, oh no, we've always been friends, the youngest girl. Like, she was, her behavior afterwards, you're just like, this is all exactly the type of people. Because she was with him for years. There shouldn't have been a vote. She is supposed to go to the funeral. There's no voting that needs to take place. She was there up to his final night. You invite her to the funeral. But they're assholes. And so they did. And so I like that he put all the talking points in there. And then showed that these people are just different versions of the same shitty person. They're all those terrible people.
Yeah.
And he moved on and proved it throughout the course of the movie. But again, this is a thing where had the movie been bad, we'd have gone. And then for no reason in the middle of this fucking movie. This goddamn immigration screen. That doesn't pay off. He's not saying anything. Right. So it's just one of those things where we tend to forgive the movies that we like. We don't point to the obvious flaws in movies that, in fact, the more we like it, the more things that could be flaws you look at and go, no, that's what makes this movie good. This isn't a flaw. It's not a bug, it's a feature.
It's a donut hole in a donut hole.
In a donut hole. Ah, boy.
Weirdly enough, I keep hearing that speech in my head and I just want to I just want to post GIFs of like Homer Simpson eating donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, my or review just a of never ending
donut hole being filled with donut holes.
Right.
Yeah.
Smaller donut hole, just but then there's another donut hole. Donuts.
But yep,
dives out doll of donuts. Connives, sir. There's a key.
Edgar Wright posted a picture of Knives Chow saying "Knives out," and I had a good laugh.
Yeah. It turns out they're funny people.
Yep.
Not all the time. In fact, most of the time, I'd say it is horrifying. I recently made the mistake of spending time on Reddit. I was doing it because I've been playing Red Dead Online, which is terrible, and no one should be. And there's like things to do, but the game is buggy. Like, the online portion, a lot of shit breaks for no reason. And so, I was afraid that it was a situation where my internet was bad or there's something that, maybe there's something I could fix in order to get this game to work more gooder. And went on Reddit and was immediately reminded that the internet is the worst place and we do not deserve it. I would like to formally hand in my petition that we take the internet back. I know I won't be able to do a lot of things I'm currently doing. I know we'll have to go back to shitty things like cable and whatnot, but I've seen what the internet is for 30 years. I think we call it. This experiment is not working. They're getting worse. This is a forum about video games and Douglas Robinson. For every post, which is like a joke, and there's some solid jokes. You hit, because you can't hide responses in Reddit. In fact, most of the time, you're looking for the actual responses. And everything, like, it doesn't take four posts before you're just like, humanity has to end now. We have to pull the plug. Whatever button needs to be hit so that we can start this whole experiment over. We have to do that because this isn't working. So, yeah, the internet is not. Like, we use it for movies, but that's not what the internet is for.
At least not those kind of movies.
For hate crimes. It's real bad. Speaking of real bad, I bought Disney Plus.
As did I. Disney Plus is trash. I think all three of us are officially on the Disney Plus app at the moment.
The Mandalorian is very good. Disney Plus is trash. ESPN Plus is not a service. Like, they bundle that.
I told you this, though.
They should throw that shit in the garbage.
Did you guys get the bundle?
I got the bundle.
I didn't get the bundle because to get the bundle, you have to either go through Disney Plus's website, which I can't because it doesn't take my credit card, or do it through Hulu on Google Play, but that still only takes my credit card, which it won't.
Right.
So I know I still have, I have all three of those things, but separately.
What I'll say is you already have Hulu, the bundle is useless.
No, the bundle, what the bundle would do, so I was hoping it would do one or two things. Well, it would do two things. One, it would allow me to just pay directly.
Yeah, man.
Right? So cut out that god awful markup.
So your situation.
And the second thing is the bundle actually is cheaper if you in the sense that
you're paying
when
for
you pay
two
for
services.
All three of them, you're really
you
not paying. Yeah.
But ESPN Plus is garbage and no one
I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it much longer.
I'll
wait until sometime in the middle of next year after Bundesliga starts and after they make any other announcements to see if it's still worth it. Because right now, the only thing, maybe I'll just turn it on and off, because the only thing I've used it for a half a second, I tried to watch the football podcasting that they have, which isn't that hot. And also I realized is on ESPN, the channel anyway.
Yeah.
And two is football. So they have the tin cups, the various Carabao cups, League cups, Community Shield that I'll watch. But I need to watch a Community Shield once. I guess the finals of those cups I'll watch. And then the rest of them are in the week when I'm at work and can watch them on shitty cable. So I'll probably, unless they get better, which it looks like they're trying to, because as I said, I know next year they're bringing on Bundesliga.
Right.
Unless they get more, I think it might be time for me to cut my losses on that one.
I will give them 3 months. And if it's still this bad, then, I mean, listen, Darkwing Duck and Goof Troop is all well and good.
Streaming
I shouldn't be paying. You own all the Star Wars. Like, I don't want to hear about the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies, because everyone that is excited about getting this service for that, chances are they already bought these movies or had access to watch these movies elsewhere. So,
well, I mean, that, the other thing is that while right now a lot of the movies are all over the place, slowly but surely they're going to start locking them all to Disney.
But right, not just that,
2 years.
But not just that. Not just the locking in of all the Disney movies. Because again, you could have owned all of those before. What it really needs to do, and I know that they have that plan, it's just for them to actually do it,
right,
is to put more and more original content that people want to watch. So all of these shitty Marvel shows that people like me and Andrew, or maybe just me, will watch no matter what, they need to get much more of those. Things like, it looks bad, but things like the Noel movie that it has Anna Kendrick in it. I guess Lady and the Tramp, because that's exclusive. But things like, I know, not for you and me, but I'm just talking about people in general.
Yeah, but I'm not
things
talking about
that
people
are
in
exclusive.
You're talking about me.
That you cannot watch anywhere else.
Listen, if you have kids,
oh yeah, this is, oh boy.
Between this and Amazon and Netflix, your children are in heaven. Because no,
Amazon
children's stuff is tremendous.
Okay.
Of course, we don't see it because why on earth? But they are,
because the boys
killing it.
Speaking of which, when the fuck is The Expanse coming back?
The 15th. Ooh. Yeah. That's why I'm clearing all of this bullshit.
I think I have something to do this week.
watching Fleabag again, it's fun. like, it is You're the Worst. It is Catastrophe. It is Better Than Divorce.
You know what happened to me? Oh, absolutely. Oof, oof. I apologize for that. I still stand by liking the first season, but oh boy. So the thing about Fleabag for me,
it's no catastrophe.
It's not catastrophe, but I always feel like I never get far because it always feels hard. You know, it's like I watch it and it has a seed of what I want,
mm-hmm.
but you can't get there. She's making you work hard to get to what right. you want.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I finally watched the first episode of Jack Ryan.
Yes, yeah. sir.
The mm-hmm. other week you guys were talking about that guy from Jack Ryan.
Yes.
Is yeah. he the guy in the first episode that's asking for stock tips?
No. No.
Okay, cool.
That's Chidi.
We know Chidi. It's yeah. not that bad.
No. It's this white guy that's an army guy in the show. You soon get there.
All right, cool. He's just generic white man.
Yeah. Which is why
right.
when I saw him in the second one, I was like, where do I know him from?
I know him from somewhere.
It had to be just the first season.
The first season's where I'm from. Because I am ridiculous.
All right. I have a couple of things I want to talk about.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start with the complete dreadful things.
Okay.
So that we can get them out of the way. The report is fucking awful.
Right? Yeah, it looked bad.
It is nothing more than a Wikipedia page. Right? And the Douglas, this is a movie about the man doing the report about the torture done during the war. Halfway through this movie, he watches Zero Dark Thirty. Watches Zero Dark Thirty. So fucking stupid.
The best movie ever.
Don't Nabi. I've never seen an episode of the show.
Then you're doing
Why?
This wrong.
Why would you watch a movie?
What
then?
Is happening here?
The movie doesn't look very interesting.
Yo, dog. It's... Andrew, you know that a movie like that is nothing but callbacks, right? It's bad.
You're a psychopath.
And the only reason anybody who watches it likes it is because it calls back to what apparently was good.
Imagine if I came on here and went, you know, that Star Wars Christmas special sucks. I haven't seen any of the others. Because I'm a psychopath. But the Christmas special is bad.
No, to be fair, I remember watching an episode of Downton Abbey and not liking it.
Yeah.
But that's another conversation to
exactly.
be had. That's why that I think that actually
is a reasonable
has
conversation.
Validity. Exactly.
I just wanted to mention it for Damien in case he was curious about the Downton Abbey movie.
No, I saw the movie with my mother on Sunday. If you watch the first six seasons, all of it makes sense. And you're happy to spend another hour and a half with these people. But if you have not, why are you even here?
I watched Hustlers. That movie's not good. However,
mm-hmm.
I think J-Lo's really fucking good in it. But
I'm sorry, you said she looks good in it or is good in it?
She's good.
She is good dancing?
Acting.
All right, let me start again. You know J-Lo, the hot one. From
yes, the one
the
from
early
the block.
Thousands.
The one that invented
right,
Google's image search.
Right, right. It's like J-Lo green dress. That one.
Yeah.
You're saying that she, in the time that I have known her, singing and dancing, she's gotten better at her craft?
Yep.
I don't believe.
All right, moving on. So, got the shit out of the way. Don't need to talk about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of you guys have watched this yet. The new Mike Birbiglia special was on Netflix.
Yes.
Yes, and I thought we got the shit out of the that, way.
I thought, I need to hear this.
I forgot I watched this movie. I thought I'd spoken about this already. Andrew, I want to hear what you have to say about this piece of shit stand-up.
Hey, no, stop giving away the game. Stop it.
As a stand-up special, I rate it as a 4 out of 10. Right? As a stand-up special.
Okay.
Right? But as a really long period of Mike Birbiglia just telling me stories of him having a child,
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed myself to a certain degree. Right? I don't think it's stand-up joke every 5 seconds, which is a problem if we're talking about it as a stand-up. Right? Which is interesting because if you just watch it, you can tell that he knew he had to try and put some comedy in it, but he wasn't trying to make it into, like, the last one he put out. What was the name of it? These Are Just the Jokes or something? Or it had the picture of him in the stained glass window, which I loved. I loved that special. But this felt like he was legitimately just doing, like, a one-man show, almost like that joke of a one-man show that you saw in The Big Sick of Kumail Nanjiani doing the I Am From Pakistan one-man show thing.
Can we please stop talking about bad comedian things?
Yeah, so that's my thoughts on the new one. Mike Birbiglia.
Alright. So here's my thoughts on the Mike Birbiglia special. It is garbage.
Alright, so I'll be somewhere in the middle. Me and Damien watched the first 20 minutes maybe of this before the last podcast, and I remember thinking it was all right and hopefully it would get better, but I didn't really watch it properly. So even when I decided to watch it, I started back from minute one and had the same feeling that it was not quite fine, but you know, maybe fair, and hopefully it would get better, and then it just got worse. The show was 20 minutes okay, and the rest just got
what off. Andrew described as him just telling stories about himself having a baby, that is Mike Birbiglia's stick. Like, he doesn't come on and tell a series of jokes.
Yeah.
He tells stories about his life and then tells them in a funny way to try and entertain people. It is why the first special I heard him on, he told the La Quinta in him jumping out of a window. So, because he's been telling that story for eternity.
I've seen people do that. But there's a fellow by the name of Daniel Schloss.
Right. But he is better than this.
Yes, he is.
Listen,
But Damien, the problem is, right? So you and I get into arguments over, say, the last Chappelle stand-up, because I can appreciate that it's okay, but you have that same argument. Right. He's better than this. Now, my argument to this is that it doesn't matter how much better than this he is. This is actively bad.
Exactly.
Right? There is no bar above or below which this is.
This is my one defense. I'll say to everything you're saying. I get it, especially, and it's a good thing you brought up Chappelle. I get it when we talk about the last Chappelle special, where we're like, Chappelle is better than this.
Right.
To me, this thing felt kind of like our argument about Midsommar, where you guys were like, people can do better things than this. And I'm like, no, I think he meant to do exactly this thing, right? Like, he wasn't trying to make his last special. He wasn't trying to make it end-to-end that thing. He was literally trying to just do this thing about his child, and I appreciated that. Almost like, I think a months back, Douglas was talking about that girl with the makeup who was on, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know her name.
Sings. What's her name? Miranda. Miranda
where,
Sings.
Where at the end of it, Douglas wasn't trying to argue that it was good or bad. He was just like, I couldn't take my eyes away. Like, I understood that she was doing a thing.
Fair
right, and my argument then I know is the thing she's doing is bad. Listen, I love Mike Birbiglia. I've been following this guy since I was buying stand-up comedies on cassettes from comedy.com. Right? So he doesn't get to fucking 15 years later be absolute trash and then have me, comedy.com is no longer a thing. He doesn't get to do this. It's not good. Like, there are a few jokes, but you can't ask me to sit and listen to you tell stories for an hour.
It was like 90 minutes.
You know who is better at telling these same stories? What she call herself? King Cobra. The And she's in Fresh Off the Boat, and she has two stand-up specials on...
Ali Wong. Ali Wong is fantastic.
Ali Wong is telling...
I'm actually upset she doesn't have a new stand-up special.
Next Mother's Day is when it's... She's just going to make this a thing. Every time it's a Mother's Day, she'll put... Ali Wong told these same jokes about having children in her last special, and she flat out killed it. So there's ways to tell jokes about having children. Sure, a lot of these jokes you've heard before, but if you're good enough as a comedian, you can find a way to make it funny. He didn't. Like, the part where he dropped all the toys, and then he's like going around bitching about the amount of bullshit you have to buy, that was amusing. And then you were there.
It was kind of fun when it and fell, then, and then it wasn't.
Right, and then there was a time he washed the dishes, and his wife wrote, "She's going to fuck him." You go, all right. That is also quite hilarious. But the rest of that, like Andrew said, it's 90. If it is indeed 90 minutes, then this is more egregious than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes. I recognize this the night I put it on where I'm like, oh, it's a stand-up special. It's only be an hour. I'll be in bed soon. Nope, yeah. It wasn't.
Actually, you know who I found that out with who does the same thing, but even worse? You remember how I used to love Eddie Izzard, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I recently bought a huge DVD box set of his with all of his, what I assume are all of his specials. And I realized that his specials average at like 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're still fun and whatever. I haven't watched all of them. I need to. But I'm just surprised at how long he can go.
How confident he is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's parts where he's putting on a show.
Oh, of course. And I'm sure he writes these things, but some of the funniest bits are when he, in my mind, pretends, but maybe he actually gets something, something doesn't work, and then he makes fun of himself for it not working. And, you know, that's awesome.
I'm going to do my best Andrew impersonation right now. There are stories about certain comedians, and I've heard it about musicians too, where when they're on the road and they're doing their set, they build in the jokes and like the things where it looks like, oh, they made a mistake. And like they have it like to a science. And when you watch it, you're
I
just
assume
like,
they all do.
You watch it, you're like, no, that seems like an accident. And they're just like, no. Like, I heard that Rodney Dangerfield. Like, when you watch his specials, he's mocking people in the crowd.
He's so good.
He's like mocking. And they're like, listen, he, every single night, it's the same jokes. And he's doing it to different people. And no matter what the person says, he'll transform the joke just enough to conform to what the person is wearing or is doing that night. But they're like, if you listen to the band playing in the back, like the person hitting drums, like they're like, he's done it over and over, and they're like, it kills every night. You'd think he wouldn't enjoy it but he's like, when things actually go bad, they play it off and then they go backstage and it's a full-on massacre, like he's just killing everybody. I'm like, that is actually information. I like,
so I've got two more to go through, and here are the future movies of the week. Right? Queen and Slim, I got around to watching.
No! Damn it.
Say it.
He's already on the good side, Adamian. You know this is good.
Yeah, but he was wrong with my Burbiglos. I don't need to hear it. I don't want to hear 4 out of 10 as funny and 10 out of 10 as stories. I need something definitive.
And for me and Damon, I've been having a long argument over whether this movie is going to be good or not.
Yes. I really like this movie.
Yes!
I've read a lot of divisive things about it, but I personally really like this movie. It is what it looks like. It is a Tinder date gone. It is either, you can either describe this movie as best first date or worst first date. It's entirely up to you as to how you see this. Because it is a Tinder date that ends in a police being shot and then they're off on the run. My favorite thing about this movie is it's at the core of it is it's just a road movie where they're going from town to town and they're seeing other people. right?
Right.
Bukim Woodbine is in this movie, and he is a goddamn fucking MVP of this movie.
Who is that?
You're going to have to help me out.
He is otherwise known as the number one customer from the DVD, the tape rental store in Trace Buster Buster.
You could have just said the black guy from Trace Buster Buster. We'd have gotten there a lot faster.
He has to be the guy who's suddenly learned about masturbating. He is so fucking fantastic in this movie. And I mean, Kaluuya and the lady whose name I don't know. And her name Jodie Turner Smith is also great in this fucking movie. It's one of these road movies that I love because you just see them go on and it's tense, and even the ending of this movie, it knows that it wants to play homage to Bonnie and Clyde, and it worked for me. Like, it is the movie that starts, goes, and ends, and you leave it satisfied completely.
I guess I'm going to have to go watch this movie.
Yes, please.
Damian, when I get watch this.
If it ever comes out.
Isn't it out already? I think it's out this week.
Oh, all right. I guess Thursday.
I thought it was out the same. Actually, today might be the last
I'm
day.
Looking at the website. I'm looking at the website for last you. Last week. And it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You can't go Thursday. When we know it, it'll be empty.
So yeah, I sincerely enjoyed that movie. Moving on to my last selection, and the one that I know I'll hear the most Andrew you're talking bullshit to.
Frozen 2.
Nope. I haven't gotten around to watching that yet. I want to. I went and I saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Fred Rogers movie.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers movie.
Okay, cool.
That's Mr.
Fred Rogers. Yeah, you said Fred as if I know his first name.
Well, I assume that when I said Rogers, you'd kind of get the gist of it and move on.
The only reason I thought maybe it's that is because Neighborhood was in the name of the title. Mm-hmm.
See, everything kind of works, so you could have just shut the fuck up.
Brandon Rogers?
So yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. So I,
you would.
So here, lies the thing, right? And this is always the addendum everyone has to say whenever they talk about a biopic. I didn't grow up watching Mr. Rogers. When I think of Mr. Rogers, the first thing that comes into my mind is that episode of Black Dynamite. Damien, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Right. And I'm upset to anyone who's listening to this who is like super into this movie and doesn't know what I'm talking about from the Black Dynamite episode. Just go into YouTube. Rogers, Black Dynamite. Enjoy yourself.
Tremendous.
Yeah. I watched the documentary that came out a couple years ago and everyone was bawling their eyes out over it. And I was like, not really for me. Like, I got it. He was a sincerely wonderful human being. It just didn't get me that time. This movie, however, I think what I love the most about it isn't necessarily the general biopic thing. It's the way the filmmaker framed the story she wanted to tell. So this isn't a biopic about Mr. Rogers. It isn't a movie that takes us from the beginning to the end of the life of Mr. Rogers. This is a movie about an article that was done about Mr. Rogers. And so it's told entirely from the framing of the writer of that article interviewing Mr. Rogers over the span of what must have been like 2 or 3 weeks and what was going on in his life and how Mr. Rogers affected him, right? And honestly, like, it just fucking works. Everything about it is great. Tom Hanks does his bestest. Do you remember when, like, 4 or 5 years ago he was Walt Disney? He does that shit again, being the iconic person and being so fucking good at it.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is pretty fucking amazing. Yeah. If you talk about... you can talk about any movie that Tom Hanks is in and the words, Tom Hanks did his job.
Even the ones probably, I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Bridge of Spies?
Fucking Pirates?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Tom Hanks is killing the game.
Yep.
They do a shit ton of miniature work because, of course, like the TV show he did had all of those miniatures going on, but it's so fucking good. So, like, the opening of this movie opens like a Mr. Rogers episode, and he has like a picture frame, and he starts talking about the writer played by Matthew Reese, the guy who was the lead in The Americans, if anybody watched that show. And it becomes as if this movie is an entire episode of Mr. Rogers dedicated to this writer and what's going on in his life. And I fucking loved it. I ate this shit up. It was just so fucking good. This movie wants you to cry, and it almost fucking got me there. And this movie is made by Mariel Heller, the lady who made two movies that we've talked about. This is her third film, but I don't think we've loved any of her movies yet. There is
a lady director.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? The movie from last year with Melissa McCarthy, and the film from 2015, the Diary of a Teenage Girl, and. Beyond what we think about those movies as stories, I think she knew from then how to really frame films into interesting spaces. And I think it comes out the best here in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And guys, this, I don't know yet, but I feel this movie is really fucking high right now in my 2019 hopeful list. And I know you guys aren't going to watch this before next year. You guys aren't going to watch this before a decade from now. But I really fucking love this movie.
So is it sad? I mean, I know there's something wrong with me. I really do. And I know there have been two movies about this guy. And I know who he is. I know the how people love this show. I still kind of expect these movies to show that he's actually a bad human being.
That's what.
And that's the thing, Douglas. Because of how this movie is framed... The person who it's all about is the guy writing the article who walks into this being like, you know, this guy's probably a child rapist. I'm going to find that somewhere and I'm going to be upset and I'm going to have to write that down. And he spends every waking minute testing all of those where he's like the first interview he goes to see him and he's him just looking at him. And then he comes back and he's talking to his wife and he's like, I don't know if it's real or not yet. I don't know what's going... Like, he has all of those doubts that we have about this thing, that we know nothing, right? And it just works as a way to tell this story.
When I say bad human being, right? I don't mean asshole. I mean, like, Daniel Schloss put it best when he said, I love kids.
And... If 20 years from now, you find out that was not a joke, you're like, he did tell us.
But yeah, so I'm an asshole. I'm a horrible human being. But sure, I mean, Tom Hanks is going to be great in anything he's in. Listen, so it that's is always not, a given.
Douglas, I don't think it is you. It is learned behavior. We've seen throughout the years that people who've been on TV long enough... You
I mean,
hear
there's that Australian guy just recently, Ralph Harris.
Yes. You find out that they're trash people. And it makes sense once you're given that much power. I mean, you start coming up with shit. I'm going
to
watch
one's
this.
Not just power. I mean, you can use power to say, I don't know, have sex with a lot of consenting young ladies or men.
Or you can do what Bill Cosby did. Like, what are you talking about? is this world not fair this enough. World? What are we saying here? If Tom Hanks appears in a movie like Meryl Streep, I'm going to have to watch it. Because they're better than everybody. And
speaking
so you
of
want
which,
to see.
When are you watching season 2 of Big Little Lies?
Let me go. February the 2nd.
My follow up question,
I know,
Damien,
but
is
that's
what
a TV show.
What happened when the post came out and both of them were in it?
I watched that movie and was disappointed.
it's
what
like
happened.
A perfect storm.
it's what happened.
I did not watch that movie.
I'm not blind. I'm not blind to the fact that movies can be bad, even my favorite actors are in there.
No, I just want to know if like your brain exploded with excitement.
No, I assume that they're going to be in more movies going forward. Now they're basically in the same age range. So any movies you tell with one, you can basically tell with the other. So you just have to accept that as a reality.
All right, so let me just...
That's the end of my list.
There we go. Yes. So I'll just go Slim quickly because I have not watched anything. But I'm sure Damon has watched 2,000 things.
I've seen some
stuff. But just to say, again, fuck Mike Birbiglia. He needs to make funny.
Mike Birbiglia.
just really two things I watched. One I want to talk about, not because it's anything new, not because it's anything big, but because it's I'm sad. It made me sad when I watched this. I watched The Time Traveler's Wife. I think I watched this with Andrew at the movies. I don't know. Have you watched this, Damian?
I've seen this movie.
So I love the joke that the lady in this movie who for a Rachel McAdams in this movie is always the wife to a time traveler because of About Time. I mean, it's so weird that she's literally been in the same movie twice.
Yeah, she had a hot year that year.
Yeah. And I love About Time. I remember coming out of this movie really liking it, but I don't think I've really watched it again. I watched it again the other day, a couple of days ago. And guys, this movie is not good.
I thought you knew that.
No, I did not.
I thought this was another...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't another About Time or another Knight's Tale where I know there are problems. I know it's not, but I thought this was actually decent.
I thought that was the conversation we had every time we talked about this movie.
I think Eric Bana being in any way related to this movie should have tipped me off, but...
Mm-hmm.
This movie's not good. And I am profoundly disappointed.
This is one of those movies where I know I enjoyed it when I watched it. But as time has gone on, there's a part of my brain that just says, Andrew, don't go back.
And it's right. but the other one that I watched that I've been... It's one of my guilty pleasures. And they brought out a third one, so I've been really looking forward to watching this, is Angel Has Fallen. I love these movies. It's not...
You understand that this one,
unlike
the movie before, you know this is trash,
it's
right?
It's definitely trash. Cool. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, it's White House Down, but not as good, but it kept going, right? And I enjoyed the first one. I enjoyed the second one.
Don't know how.
And this one...
It's more White House.
It's more White House. It's not as, I don't even want to say good, enjoyable. It's not as enjoyable as the other two. But yeah, I still got what I wanted out of it. Not as much as especially the first one. But yeah.
That's very scary.
They need to keep it coming. Actually, what they need to keep coming, what they need to bring back is White House Down. They need to bring, you know, White House Up or something. Let's have a second one of those, please.
Channing Tatum.
Let it go. Let it go.
all right.
How many episodes, Douglas?
How many episodes?
Of The Irishman. How many episodes have you
watched? I have not even started watching it. So the only other thing that I want to talk about, because those are the two bad things, right? And we've kind of started talking about it because it's related to my recent acquisition of a certain streaming platform. I got Disney Plus. Right now, Disney Plus, essentially, at least for somebody like me, has two things. It has Jeff Goldblum and his shenanigans. Yeah, I watched an episode of. If you like Goldblum, watch it. If not, it's
if you like Goldblum, speak to our doctor.
the other is The Mandalorian. And I have only watched one episode, but I want us to talk just a little, just for a little while about this. Have you watched any of this, Andrew?
The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
No, not an episode.
Okay, so let's not really talk about it. Let's all watch it and then we can talk about it. But just to say, I was surprised when Damian said to me, oh, this show is great. I kind of thought he hit his head. He talked about it being like a Western.
Yeah, it's Space Cowboys.
he is 100% right.
Yeah.
The show literally starts with a guy walking into a bar, getting taunted, and then murdering the people that were taunting him.
It starts like Buster Scruggs starts.
It starts like every Western ever starts.
All the good ones.
Yeah. He's a bounty hunter, and he's bounty hunting. It's great.
So you said he's a bounty killer?
The one thing that I will say before we have our... Because we need to have... So, we're going to have 5 Peaky Blinders podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have
1 Succession podcast.
All right, fair enough. A Succession podcast. Mm-hmm. We're going to need a couple others, but we will also need a Mandalorian podcast.
Yes,
but
sir.
Before we get there, I do just need to say that Nick Nolte is the greatest. I have spoken.
Yes. For Andrew, you do not know why what Douglas just said is the best thing, because you haven't been watching the show, because you're a psychopath. What I will say to you is, I mean, you're on the internet, so you know Baby Yoda exists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't have the attachment to Star Wars that you guys have. Baby Yoda is the best part of this show. Far and away. And it is delightful. This TV show is so enjoyable that it got me to buy Disney Plus. Literally good enough. I'm just like, all right, let me get this. I can't believe Andrew isn't watching this. Like, it doesn't make sense. But you've also been watching Watchmen, so we need to have like a proper Watchmen podcast.
That show is fun as fuck.
Yeah. You guys spoke about it earlier. I got an hour and something-ish into The Irishman. I cannot.
Andrew was right.
I cannot, Douglas. Wow. It is too much. It is too much and not, like, it is the veneer of good movies. And you look up and you're just like, this can't have 2 more hours. Don't give a fuck what happens. Like, unless Daenerys flies in with dragons, I cannot do this. I can't. No. If this were split up into episodes, I'd have told you after episode 1, just ignore this shit. But it just keeps going. And
Andrew was right.
We've spoken about how hard it is to... Because I blocked out the time. And I was like, boy, this is 3 hours, but there's nothing really good that I want to watch right now. Formula One season is over, so I have a gap in time. And...
Wait, sir, how do you have a gap? I'm still watching football, NFL, and have no gap.
So here's the thing. When there's bad football games on, I do not watch them. If I look at 2 teams and go, this has no bearing on anything, I will wait for the highlight. I don't need to watch terrible football.
I've started to do that, actually. Yeah. Especially in NFL, right, where I'm just like, not good, right, not good, and then
I've been doing it for years with real football, and I've got there with NFL. Like, if I see 2 teams that don't need to be seen... Like, if you put the Bears on my TV, I'm not going to do that to myself.
And that's sad, actually, because I watched their first game, and their defense was just terrifying.
Yeah, man. Khalil Mack is
all of a sudden
a monster, but
they're nothing.
The problem with having good defense is that your offense gets a long time on the field.
No, but even after that, the defense has been nowhere near that.
Yeah, because
first
they look
standard
over and they see that the offense is, they're just throwing away tremendous defense.
Moving on from NFL podcast time.
Garbage file. All right, so The Irishman, no one should watch.
I sat in a theater for that.
You're wrong to do that to yourself. Rick and Morty.
We've been watching that.
Rick and Morty remains fantastic.
Yep.
I think I talked about Dragon Prince last week. If I haven't, no one should watch that. It's not good. It's a cartoon. It's very bad. I said I watched Fleabag. Fleabag is Fleabag. If you like bad people doing bad things, you should like Fleabag. I say that so that what I say next makes me a hypocrite. Succession. When I'm finished with season, I was hoping to have a talk to you guys about season one. But I'm going to finish season two first. And then I'm going to come here. Because based on season one, Damian, I have a lot of questions.
Please remember.
I know what I want to hear anything from you.
That I advise you against. And I don't want to hear anything from this.
Andrew.
All right.
But let me be clear. When I'm finished with season two, next week I'm going to come on here. And you guys best make sure season two comes correct, because I wasted a lot of time. There's many a nights, instead of going to my bed, which is where I should be, I said, I'm going to take an hour and watch one more of these. And at no point have I been rewarded. But I'm not going to talk about it now.
You hear that, Andrew? Your shitty show is under fire.
I have one more season to get through.
I'm looking at GIFs right now. I'm going to send something big. Don't worry.
Also, Andrew, last week you promised that My Hero is going to get better. Have you seen last episode?
I did.
Yeah. Where is it getting better?
It's next week. Next week.
Okay.
You know, okay. They just started the fighting.
Do you work in accounting by any chance?
Nope.
Because you're giving me the same promises a certain accountant has been giving me. It's always next week. My Hero is bad. My suggestion to people who haven't started watching for whatever reason, first of all, congratulations, you're luckier than me. But just skip to this. Literally, if you don't find out anything that happens in the first couple episodes of this show, nothing about what is about to happen will be affected in any way. I went back and looked at these episodes in prior seasons, and what is happening is a goddamn tragedy. They're turning into Dragon Ball Z, I didn't want, but it's bad. Stop it. You leave Dragon Ball Z alone. I will not sit here and have you troll Dragon Ball Z. And I watch one other movie. It is the only thing I can watch. I watch Booksmart again.
Yes, Damian. Yes.
Booksmart.
You have come to the dark side.
Booksmart makes me happier than I should be.
I am literally in the middle of watching that movie again. It's so good.
It is infuriating how much I like that movie. And Douglas, you're wrong for doing this. I know you had something to do with the movie and I wanted to stop. I want to go back to a life where... Here's how good Booksmart was. I remember that there was a male version of this called The Boys earlier.
I thought you were going to talk about
Superbad.
Superbad, thank you.
Yeah, no.
With her brother. Because that's Jonah Hill's sister. But yeah, is that movie any good? That movie didn't look good. But then again, this one technically didn't look good anyway.
I got
this
that movie.
Always look good. The Boys always look bad.
This trailer, I mean, you could make an argument, but it did not look the slam dunk that it is.
Also, it's easy to say that no.
Yeah.
It's easy to say no, that no, I was right. I thought this movie
I still
was
haven't watched The Boys. I've ignored
I
it.
I saw the, and I went, this.
Is it called The Boys or is it a different
name? Yes, it is. Yeah. Either The Boys or The Good Boys.
Yeah,
something
Good
like
Boys
that.
Or something like that. I saw that and I went, boy, Booksmart was...
And it's adjacent because it is a Seth Rogen production, right?
Right, so, it's just small children being in situations they shouldn't be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's Look, the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah, and I... Booksmart is so good. I remember that movie and got it. Like, I purchased it, but still haven't watched it because I'm afraid. What I did, though, was watch Succession, and that is terrible.
Well, anyway, Damian, if you're watching Succession, you better well and just watch Good Boys. What?
Yeah, you're right. What's the worst that can happen?
It can't be as bad as some of those episodes.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you. I told you to not watch it, you know. Why did you watch it?
Because my mother asked me about it.
I got sucked into the vortex.
Design.
And I tried to keep you out.
I was going to... Listen, when people who aren't you come up to me unprompted, I'm just like, I want to watch this. I get very scared because I'm like, who is talking to you? I was very clear. Don't talk outsiders. So when they come and ask me for stuff, even when I know it's bad, like I had to get a Chris Brown movie, some Christmas movie. I think it's called This Christmas or something like that. Douglas, based on the two pieces of information I've given you, you know this movie is the worst. Still had to get it.
There has to be a Christmas movie with Chris Brown in it, mm-hmm. where they somehow play on his name, like Brown Christmas or something like that. Chris Brownmas.
I tell you that might be the case, but I'd be lying. Because once I see Chris Brown, I don't watch it. He's not as bad as Tyler Perry, but he might as well be for my purposes.
Sure no.
No, I can't be sure because I'll never watch any of them.
I have to tell you. Like is a strong word that I mm-hmm. cannot use in this scenario.
Right.
But
tolerate.
I respect some of the things that Tyler Perry does.
Like
Tyler Perry, you can see he has talent.
For example.
He has talent. He has acting talent. He has writing talent. All of that jazz. Mm-hmm. But
where are you getting this from? Show me your workings.
All right. So he obviously knows what he's doing, right? He's making shitty movies for shitty people. Yes?
All right.
All right. Cool. But just if you look at him, mm-hmm. right? And you compare him with, say, Chris
Hemsworth.
Friday.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
I should have just kept naming other Chris.
I know, right?
Damn it.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, it was a lip.
So compare him with, say, Chris Tucker, mm-hmm. who I actually don't think... I think his particular brand mm-hmm. only worked, say, twice.
Right? That is two more than Tyler Perry.
Yeah. But compare him with other people and the way that he executes the shit that he has. So he has this Madea shit. He has this just, I am going to do Uber black comedy shit. But the way he executes it, he seems to execute it very well. Right? So that if let's say somebody else actually wrote something, or maybe he sat down and mm-hmm. said, you know what? I'm not writing shitty movies anymore. I'm going to try. You never know. Maybe you can get something right. If he executes that, he looks like he could do something. He looks like he has talent. Like proper talent. And
tell me the Madea movies you've seen.
I've not really seen.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
I think I've seen a snippet of the first one.
Okay.
The Diaries of a Mad Black Woman.
Okay. And was it good?
Of course not. It's...
All right.
Damien.
And...
You see, by that time... Here's a problem. By that time... Mm-hmm. I remember when that came out. That came out in 2005. I was just about to leave college. I had just passed the stage where I realized that black comedies are not generally good. Mm-hmm. Or just because it is a black comedy. I used to watch Friday and mm-hmm. House Party and all of that shit. And right. just be like, yes... That was there right at the point where I was like, actually, you know what? No.
So, what you've described in Tyler Perry is what we see year on year from Adam Sandler, where he puts out movies that are almost nightmarishly mediocre. Sometimes aggressively bad.
Yeah.
But people watch. We don't watch them.
No, we do not.
Sony keeps giving him money. Netflix keeps giving him money. and they make a lot of money.
Though, because to be there's fair, people, there is one Adam Sandler movie this year that I'm looking forward to.
Yes, but who made that? The Softy Brothers.
Yeah,
so that's not his movie. Good.
Yeah, that's when not his that movie. When is
going to be available? Never. I haven't seen it on Google.
Never.
I'm so upset.
You'll never see that.
When does that movie? I think I can. Douglas. Can I go and watch that again?
You don't get to look at me and tell me Tyler Perry is good. He's prolific, but that doesn't make him good.
I agree.
Right?
But I think he's that found, given the right... given the right environment.
No, there's no... He's had all here, the right environment.
Here. Damien, I'll bet you a dollar.
That one.
I'll bet you a dollar.
Any money.
That if we switch Tyler Perry with Timothée Chalamet... All right. That, you know, one will become... Tyler Perry will become the cinema...
Stick on Tyler, you bullshit.
I'm losing my mind.